Seasons change. Why not your tech? Upgrade now during the Dell Technologies Summer Sale event and save on select PCs, like the XPS 16, powered by Intel Core processors. You'll be able to bring your most intensive projects to life with built-in AI, minimalistic design, immersive visuals, and cinematic audio. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to exceptional tech and electronics, plus free shipping on everything. Amazing prices await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
So it's 2019. Everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. Raycon earbuds start off at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing. The company was actually co-founded by Ray J, and celebrities like Snoop Dogg, Melissa Etheridge, Cardi B, Brandy, J.R. Smith, and more are already obsessed. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable and so easy to take anywhere. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet, with no dangling wires or stems. And of course, they don't just look great, they sound great too. And they're perfect for listening to all your favorite iHeartRadio podcasts on the go. Raycon offers their wireless earbuds for everyone in a range of fun colors and at an unbeatable price. So go to buyraycon.com/iHeart to get 20% off your order. That's buyraycon.com/iHeart for 20% off Raycon wireless earbuds. If you've been eyeing a pair, now is the time to get an amazing deal. One more time, buyraycon.com/iHeart.
My next guest is an actress, writer, and producer. See right there? We're on the same lane. But she can act. See, just only acted. I only had one acting opportunity that I accepted. That was Jason's Lyric. I played Fast Freddy. That's my historical moment in acting. Spanning nearly 20 years. Her career spanned nearly 20 years in television, film, and theater. When you do theater, you can act. I'll just tell you that now. Theater, you can act now. Because usually, especially when you start the early days of theater, because people right sitting right next up to you, you know. Early theater, you know, you can act like to lean forward and see your, and touch your customers. Her latest project includes the CW drama All American, which is based on a true story. Starring in the role of Grace James, she's also starring in an upcoming movie called Bolden, a reimagined life story of the influential New Orleans music legend Buddy Bolden, which will be in theaters May 3rd. Please welcome to Money Making Conversations, Kareema Westbrook.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, she comes on with that, you know, that great voice, gracious voice.
I got the morning voice.
No, you got, that's your voice. That's your voice. Come on, that's your voice. You know, got the.
Well, I just wanted to say one thing. Mm-hmm. All American is inspired by
inspired
the story,
by?
So not all the details on the series is exactly true. And I have a co-star role in Bolden. I just don't want to mislead people. They're going to go to the movies and think I'm a lead, and then they're going to watch All American and think it's all true.
Okay. All righty. Well, you know, a lot of people think Black Panther is real. Now, you know that.
This is true. People are still looking for Wakanda.
I'm just letting you know, at the Delta, they changed one of the flight schedules to Wakanda. You know that, didn't you? I'm just letting you know that now. So, you know, it's who wants to know the truth will believe it to be the truth. My whole thing is that you're absolutely right. It's inspiring. And so you have to say these things so people won't sue you. Because they say, that's my life they told. That's me. That's really me in there. That's my role. You're lying. I need a check. So that's why I use the word inspired. But more importantly, your career has been inspired. 20 years. Well, so what did you...
Years.
So I'm assuming that you say your early morning voice, you're on the West Coast.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Usually people say, thank you for getting up early to do my show. Thank you. Where did it all start? Where did it all start for you being inspired? What city, what state that said, you know, I want to do this for a living?
Well, I was born and raised in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And as a child, I've always been very active in sports and in the arts. Mm-hmm. I did plays, community plays as a kid and in school. And I kind of went back and forth between acting and sports. I was very active in sports. And my biggest influence growing up was Whoopi Goldberg. Like, I loved Whoopi Goldberg. And it's so funny, as a kid, I never realized that it was something that I could do professionally. It always seemed so far away, even though I did it to entertain. I did plays, but I just never really connected the dots. Like, oh, you can actually earn a living doing this, until I was in my late teens.
Mm-hmm.
And once I was done with high school, I started to look at acting more seriously, trying to figure out exactly, you know, how I could do it on a professional level once I knew I could do it on a professional level. And I started auditioning for plays in Chicago, independent films. And then there was a movie that came to Chicago called Save the Last Dance. It was a big production coming from Hollywood.
Right.
And at the time, I didn't have an agent. But all the actors that I knew in Chicago was talking about this movie. Oh, I got an audition. You got an audition. You got an audition. I was like, oh, my God, I don't have an audition. And at the time, I only had a commercial agent. And so this girl that I worked with, she was like, yeah, I have an audition tomorrow for Save the Last Dance. I was like, oh, what? Really? What time? And then she told me what time. I was like, oh, yeah, who's doing the casting? Tell me who was doing the casting, where they were located. So sure enough, that very next day, I showed up at the audition. And clearly, they were looking for a certain type, and I was not it. Mm-hmm. So I stuck out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And the casting director, she came out and she says, does everybody here have an audition? That was clearly for me. And, you know, I kind of got up like, can I talk to you for a minute? And so I pulled over. I didn't pull over, but we kind of walked over to the side, and I was like, I don't have an audition, but I really, really want to audition for this role. And she let me audition, and then I ended up getting the call back, and it was this whole thing with my hair, because I was wearing my hair natural back then, but they wanted someone with long, straight hair. So I went through this whole thing trying to find a wig. I didn't want to put a sew-in in my head back then. My wig was like a mop, because back then it was, that's what we're talking, like almost 20 years ago, so the wig, like, literally set up on top of my head. It was, looked awful. But I went back, had to call back, audition again. They called me back again, and they wanted me to audition for a different role, and then they called me back again. I met with the director, and then I got a part in the movie. And that was the start of me earning enough money to move to California. And after I worked on the film, I ended up moving to California. And the rest is kind of history. I mean, there was a lot of different things in between that. You know, I went to the Academy of Dramatic Arts one summer for their summer program prior to that. And I knew that I had to get back to California in order to pursue a career in television and film. And so I've always been very goal-oriented. So I wrote out all of my goals and what I want to do. And it seemed like everything was, like, falling into place, like, literally, even from when I booked Save the Last Dance. I remember meeting with the director, Thomas Carter, and he was like, so what are your goals? And that was like the perfect question for me, because I had all the answers. I was like, I want to get my SAG card. I want to, you know, I want to get in the union. I want to move to LA. I want to do television. And, you know, I had like this long list. I was like completely ready. And so after booking that film, I had enough money to move to LA. And, you know, prior to that, as I was saying, I've always been very goal-oriented. So I was planning to get to L.A. I didn't know how I was going
right.
to get there.
Let me ask you this. I'm very familiar with Save the Last Dance. That's one of my, mm-hmm. if anybody's not familiar, it's an interracial relationship. It's a young lady, it's an African-American lead and a white female lead. And mm-hmm. she wanted to be a ballet dancer. Okay. And then so
yes.
by going into the black community, she was ostracized because, you know, she had rhythm, she was cool, and also she was dating this kind of popular black guy who was also tied to a gang.
Mm-hmm.
so So it was one of my favorite movies. That's why I know so much detail about it. So
I know. I was so, like, you really know this film. It was a good movie.
I'm going to tell you something. When it came out, because I was writing and doing sitcoms at the time, I thought it was a silly concept. I was like, who's going to watch this? And I became one of my favorite movies. And one of the roles, were you one of the girls that didn't like her? Or which one did your character make the screen?
I did make the screen. I had one line.
Okay.
And I was one of the girls who didn't like her.
There you go.
His ex-girlfriend. So initially, I auditioned for the ex-girlfriend. And I didn't get that role, but I ended up getting, like, one of her friends.
Right.
So I was just instigating in the club.
In the nightclub.
When she was dancing. When she was dancing with Sean Patrick Thomas, the guy, mm-hmm. I was instigating, like, with your man,
I knew you were one of them girls. I knew you were one of those girls. Because they were like, okay, cool. Well, that's great, because, see, my whole thing about it is that, first of all, I got to get a Chicago story out of you about the weather. I just came back from Alaska last week, and so it was cold. And so I was walking around just being normal. It was like 26 degrees. I was just being normal. And then the guy said, man, it's cold out there. I said, excuse me. I've lived 5 years in Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm 5 years in Chicago. I'm just let you understand. This is nothing.
Yeah.
You have no hawk. You have no wind coming around the corner, knocking your face off. You have no wind that dries up your tears and make your eyes blink, icicles. You don't have that here. You just have cold.
Yeah.
You have drama in Chicago with the weather. So now Ms. Westbrook, do you have a cold story you can share with us before we continue this interview? Because I just can't let a Chicago native just come on my show and just talk about Chicago like it's, because that's an experience up there. 5 years, I was up there 5 years. I know. I would walk around the street and be unrecognizable. They wouldn't know if I was black or white. That's how much clothes I had on in Chicago.
That is something that I really try to forget about, the weather. I will say that is definitely, I do not miss the weather at all. So very cold. But, you know, once you live there, you kind of adjust to it being so cold. Mm-hmm. But it's still very cold. And I honestly just have completely tried to forget those brutal cold days of having to go out and turn the car on and let it run. About 10 minutes before you get in it.
Absolutely. You just don't jump in a cold Chicago car. I don't care if you got a heat warmer. It just ain't happening. So I just wanted to bring that up because I had to. Whenever somebody said it from Chicago, it just brings back a flood of cold memories to me, Ms. Westbrook.
Yeah.
And so I just gotta bring your pain to my pain. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And especially I was just in Alaska this weekend and I'm walking around at 26 like it's nothing. You know, I didn't even have no chilies on. I didn't have any. I was just walking around regular pants. I was just cool. But the thing about it is that I love the fact that Chicago is such a melting pot of creativity. It's really one of my favorite cities. And I want to get in more detail about the writing aspect that you're talking about because of the fact that you're a producer and all that, because there's so many layers that people don't understand. When you get into Hollywood, you just can't be just an actress. You have to have layers. It's called multiple talents, which leads to multiple streams of incomes, which leads to multiple opportunities. When we come back, we'll be right back with more of Ms. Westbrook as we talk about her career from Chicago to L.A. Save the last dance because we got one more break with her. Hi, this is Rashawn McDonald. I'm heading into the final break of my show, Money Making Conversations. On the phone is a very talented actress, writer, producer, straight out of Chicago, now living in Los Angeles.
Yes.
She got up early for my show. 20 years in the business. When you tell somebody 20 years, I always tell people that that's a resume builder. It doesn't happen overnight. You have to do a lot of different things, Ms. Westbrook, to be successful. And you came in as an actress. When did you start shifting to the writing and producing phases of your career?
I started writing and producing in 2007. This was right before the writer's strike in 2007. But I just felt the desire to create my own opportunities.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, instead of waiting for work. I mean, the the amount of work that was available wasn't the same back then that it is now. And so I thought it was important for me to create and not just wait. And so that's what I did.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because that was at the time where, you know, where reality shows started dominating. Mm-hmm. And that came out of that strike. Remember, that's why there wasn't a lot of people going, well, you know, we can get by, because everybody was questioning, what is a writer? Aren't they writing on, it's a reality show? Aren't those writers? Oh, no, we're just producing them. And so at one time, because I was producing a award show called the Neighborhood Awards, the Hoodie Awards, and it was becoming very difficult for me to find talent, celebrity talent, to go on stage, because they weren't working. And so, I thought that was a dark time for African-American talent as well as storytelling, because all our images were violent, argumentative in reality shows, you know, spitting on each other, throwing drinks on each other, climbing on top of the stage, fighting over men, fighting over each other, fighting over clothes. That for about a 4-year window, that's all we were on television. And I thought that was sad. So when you say that, hey, the opportunities weren't there, you started building your own opportunity, you wanted to create your own opportunities, that was tied to reality shows.
Right. And it was probably the best thing I could have did. I think every actor should create their own opportunities, right? Because it also serves as a calling card. I know the big thing for a lot of actors is to try to, you know, get a demo reel and get their demo reel together and all this and that. But writing and producing a film, even if it's like a short, now you don't need a whole lot of money to create something good. It serves as a bigger calling card. And now with so many different avenues and outlets to distribute your work and have places license it, there's more opportunities for you to even get paid for the things that you create.
Now let me ask you, theater. You do theater. Have you done sitcoms? Are you a sitcom person or are you a drama?
I've mainly done drama, but I have done some sitcoms. Back in the day, I worked on shows like Girlfriends and Moesha, but those are probably the only two sitcoms I've ever worked on.
Yes, I'm a sitcom guy. You know, I'm the Parkers, I'm a Jamie Foxx, I'm a T and Tamara Mowry. So I'm a sitcom guy, Steve Harvey. So I know there is a big difference. I always tell people, in a sitcom, you open the door. In a drama, they allow you to walk to the door and then open it. And also dramas are more emotional. But now theater, that's a different calling card, isn't it?
Yeah, theater, you have more space. When I say that, television, you're working within certain frames.
Right.
Film, you're working within certain frames. But you still have a little more space than television. Theater, you're completely free. Theater is consistent. There's no stop, cut, you know, let's do it again. You're living the story all the way through. There's no breaks in between. Maybe if there's an intermission, but outside of that, there's no cut. There's no let's redo it, you know. You're living it completely all the way through. And you have to project more. You have to really use your voice to reach the people in the back of the theater. You know, some bigger theaters have microphones, but most of them don't. So you really have to have strong vocal tools to really project, but still be able to live truthfully where the person in the back of the theater can feel what you're experiencing. So it is a different approach, but all in all, you're still being in all three of the mediums whatever story you're telling, you're still being as your character. It's just about how you're using your body at this point. And your instrument, your voice, and stuff like that within the three mediums.
Yeah, I'm on the phone. She's on the phone talking. I'm talking to Karima Westbrook. She's one of the co-stars of the TV series, CW drama called All American. It airs every Wednesday at 9 p.m. And you can also catch the show streaming free, of course, on the CW app. She's also will be appearing in a movie called
Bolden.
It's called Bolden, which is the influential New Orleans music legend called Buddy Bolden. That'll be in theaters May 3rd. And you'll be playing playing his mom in that movie. I'm assuming it's at the period of there. And so when do you start? This is just an honest question, because as I always tell people, if you're going to go to Hollywood young. Because as you go to Hollywood, there are more opportunities. You know, I always tell people, there's only one teacher teaching the classroom, but they're usually teaching it to 30 students. So there's 30 young people opportunities that you have in there. So, and we all know that there's a window that when we turn in these headshots, we say, hey, if I'm 21, I can still play 16. When I'm 30, I can still play early 20s. So when people start casting you for different roles and you start accepting them, does it define your place in Hollywood? Or you just say, hey, I accept the opportunity that they give me, and I'm a working actress?
I think it depends on the medium that you're working in.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're in a big film, mm-hmm. and like for instance, I'm in a big film and I play a mom, people who see the film, that's what they're going to see me as naturally. It's kind of like, oh, they would be perfect for this because they saw you play the same exact character, which is why they think you would be perfect for the other character that's exactly the same as the character they just saw you in. With television, you have a little more range because you might just be guest starring on a role, on a show in a particular role. And so you might be a doctor on one show, you might be a police officer on another show. But typically, people start casting you based off of how they seen you. Like if they've seen your work, your demo reel, when you play in a doctor, most of the time they're like, they're going to kind of see you in that vein. But there's always room for you to break out of that by choosing to do different types of roles so people can see you differently. And you can also create your own content or something that's a completely different character than you've been playing, you've been hired to do, to show people that you can do something else. So it's just a matter of how people initially see you a lot of times. It's how they feel like, oh, you will be great for that, because that's the imprint that's on their mind based off of the work they've seen you do.
Yes.
But that's not an absolute. There's people, you know, character actors done all types of things, you know. And when I first started, I did a lot of character work when I first started out in my career, and every character was completely different. So, but I think, you know, once I started playing moms, it was like, oh, they want to hire you as a mom. Oh, they want to hire you as the mom. You're hired as the mom. You're his mom. So I've been the mom for the last several years, and I'm okay with that. But yeah, I think that I've played that role enough that it's
here's
like,
the interesting
oh, yeah.
that I got to ask you, because, you know, I auditioned for one role in my whole life and I got it. You going mm-hmm. in there competing. How do you land roles? How do you win when you go in the casting session?
I think you got to just go based off of the material. This is what I've learned from just being on the other side. Sometimes it has nothing to even do with your performance, because somebody could come in and do a really great job. But as a writer, as a creator, sometimes you just see the character as being a certain way. A lot of times you know it when you see it. Sometimes it's just the person's essence that it works. It's like, that's who it is. So above all of that, you got to be as prepared as possible with the material and totally believe in the circumstances that it's written, and going in and just being free and doing the work. But ultimately, a lot of times it boils down to a person's essence. It boils down to what feels right. Because somebody could come in and flub the lines and be perfect for the role. And it wasn't even about them, like, getting the lines right and being perfect. It was just something about them feels right. They feel like that character. So, or feels like what we were looking for. The writer is like, this is how I see it. Or the director is like, this is how I see the character. That's him. And the actor could be like, my audition was terrible. But they don't realize that it was something about their essence that was right for the part. So I think there's a lot of different components that play a part in somebody's being cast in a role. But the only thing an actor can really concern themselves with is being prepared, being as prepared as possible and believing in the circumstances that's written in the script and going in and letting go and doing their thing and letting it go when they walk out of the room.
That's important. On the phone?
Living truthfully.
You know, she's 20 years in television, film, and theater. Latest mm-hmm. project is she's co-starring on All American. It's a CW drama. Okay, this Wednesday, 9 p.m., you can catch the show. Also, you can catch it streaming anytime you want on the CW app. Also, Bolden will be hitting the theaters May 3rd. Her name is Karima Westbrook. I know her from Save the Last Dance. I'm a big fan. I'm glad I finally got you on the show. You keep winning, okay?
Thank you.
You need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. Raycon earbuds start off at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet with no dangling wires or stems. And of course, they don't just look great, they sound great too. And they're perfect for listening to all your favorite iHeartRadio podcasts on the go. So go to buyraycon.com/iHeart to get 20% off your order. That's buyraycon.com/iHeart for 20% off Raycon wireless earbuds. If you've been eyeing a pair, now is the time to get an amazing deal. One more time, buyraycon.com/iHeart.